I'd like to preach out, if the Lord would allow me this morning, over in your Bibles, if you'd turn with us now into 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And I want to deal with what a pattern to be Paul. What a pattern to be a Paul. Stand with us today, and if you can, and I will honor the reading of the Word of God. The Bible said in the book of 1 Timothy, in chapter number 1 and verse number 11 of 1 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse number 11. The Bible said, according to the glorious gospel, and it's still glorious, of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. You know, I'd hate to think that I was going to be a preacher, stand before God and had changed gospels that He had given to me in my trust. God's trusted me with some things. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm not perfect this morning, but I am perfect through Christ. And God help me to stay committed to what You've entrusted me to do. And He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And howbeit for this cause, I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. Here's the word, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. You may be seated this morning. Father, we thank You for this good day. Lord, I want to thank You for the songs that's been sung. Lord, I want to thank You for the good Spirit of God that's in our service today. Thank You for these people that are faithful to come and to give and to contribute to the service. Thank You for that. But Lord, I realize there's no preaching in me, and I pray now You'd help me. God, You'd be merciful to me of where I failed You. God, of where I've come short, I pray now that You'd take me and You'd use me a few minutes to be a blessing to the people of God. If be one here lost today that knows not Christ, I pray You'd draw them by Your amazing grace. God, by Your loving compassion, would You woo them in the family of God today. We'll be careful to honor You and thank You for it all. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Preaching today, the thought on what a pattern to be a Paul. Now, if you're going to make something in days gone by, every lady had a pattern. If you're going to build whatever, you need a pattern to go by. Here God says that Paul is a pattern to all of those that hereafter should believe. Let's look at just a few things this morning briefly in Paul's life that I feel like would do us good to look at the pattern. First of all, you'll find out that there was a pattern of salvation in Paul's life. He had a place. I'm glad that I've got a place in my life where I receive salvation. In Acts chapter number 9, you'll notice Paul. His name was Saul at this time. The Bible said Saul was breathing out threatenings and slaughtering against the disciples of the Lord, and he went to the high priest. He is doing all that he knew to do. I wouldn't be too hard on people that have never been saved, that are acting crazy. They just doing all they know to do. And he said he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, and I'm going to tell you, the devil's still looking for churches going this way. There's a lot of them going many ways. But I'm going to tell you, God's interested in His way. And also Satan is looking for those that's going his way. Look who Paul was interested in. Nothing's changed. That he found any of this way, whether they were men or women. Hey, the devil don't care if you're a man or a woman. He's looking for you if you're going this way. He don't care if you're young or old. Don't matter to him. What matters to him is you're doing things this way. And the Bible said that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, surprise, surprise, he came near Damascus, and this word suddenly appears. There was a light shined round about him, and look where it come from. You know why? Because Jesus is the light. Came from heaven. Look what he done. He wasn't such a tough guy after all. Can I tell you, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. I wish our church would get back to remembering that. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. He fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Can I give you a nugget there today? When you're being ridiculed as a Christian, they're not ridiculing you, they're ridiculing Christ. It's not about me and you, it's about Him. They rejected Him, they'll reject you. They ridiculed Him, they'll ridicule you. Like what Brother Randy said this morning, it don't matter as long as you know that you settled of who you are and where you are. I don't near talk about as much now as I used to do about people talking about me in the community because I know what I'm doing. I know in whom I believed. And I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that glorious day. Thank God we're known as a Bible preaching church. Thank God we're known as a church in the old way in a new day. What an accomplishment for Jesus in the day and hour we live. He said, why persecutest thou me, not them? Let me tell you, this is all about Him. It ain't about us. And on your job, it's not you they don't like. It's Him that's living in you that they don't like. It's not the preacher they don't like. It's the God in the preacher they don't like. Well, I don't like that preacher. Well, the preacher ain't got nothing to do with what you don't like is what he said out of this book. And it offended you and affected you, and that's why you got offended at your preacher. But your preacher didn't write this thing. He just reads it real loud. Now, the Bible said, He said, who art thou, Lord? It gives me hope. For anybody, the chiefest of sinners, anybody that wants to know about Him can find out about Him. Who art thou, Lord? Look what He said. Brother Randy said it this morning. I am Jesus. And He's always been Jesus. He ain't just started being God. He's always been God. He said before Abraham was, I am glory to God. I'm Alpha and Omega. I was here before anything ever happened. Boy, ain't it a blessing when you know who you are. Verse 6, and he trembling and astonished, and his life changed miraculously. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Paul, he's a pattern of our salvation. He has a place. Do you have a place? I've heard people are confused about going to heaven. Hear me now. Hear me. Just cause you're a good person don't mean you're going to heaven. Just cause you don't cheat and steal and act crazy don't mean you're going to heaven. If Paul's a pattern of salvation, you better have a place and a time where you can go to where the Lord brought you under old time Holy Ghost conviction and you cried out, Lord, in your own way. I've heard men try to confuse people about you had to say this and you had to do that. That ain't in our Bible. But let me tell you what's in our Bible. You've got to have a place where the Lord dealt with your heart.
And at that time, in your own way, your heart turned to Christ. I tell you how the thief on the cross got saved. He had a place, did he not? Lord, remember me, is what he said. This one old boy said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all he said. I slid out of the third pew. That's what I said. Lord, save me. Everybody thought I was already saved. I was hiding. Smoking an ounce of weed a week. Nobody knew it. Had the right haircut. Could dress up good, meaner than the devil. Been raised up in church all my life, but I never had a place where the Lord had convicted me and showed me who I was. See, He just found out who He was and where He was. That's the Holy Spirit's work by the grace of God. You'll not get saved at your own time. I still believe John 6:44, and been ridiculed because I mention it, but you always remember this, neighbor. If it wasn't for the good Holy Ghost of God that arrested you in your condition, you'd have never got saved by the grace of God. It takes the Spirit of God to convict us of our sin and to convince us that we need to be saved. There's balance there. Let me show you the balance. He's minding His own business. God shined a light on him out of heaven. He does that by the gospel today. The Holy Spirit dealt with him. He trembling and astonished fell to the earth and he cried, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? I'd have walked to Birmingham if that's what I'd needed to do. But I'm glad he simply said, if you'll just trust me, I'll save you. Now, can I ask you this before you die and go to hell in your sins? If he's a pattern of salvation and he had a place, what makes you think that you're going to heaven and you ain't got a place? Now watch this. As many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. You've got to receive Christ as your Savior. It's not because you go to a fundamental church. It's not because you're married to a wonderful lady or to a wonderful man. It don't matter if your daddy's a preacher. You listen to me, young people. You listen to this old-time preacher. You've got to have a place when God dealt with your heart and your heart turned to Christ. Lord. And He ain't Savior today and Lord tomorrow. He's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's always been Lord. What wilt thou have me to do? He ain't worried about them no more. What have me to do? Paul, the pattern. We find he has a pattern of salvation. He has a place. If you can get anything in your heart today, please listen to the preacher. Do you have a place? If not, you can have that place today. Some of you, you've got older. You've never made a profession of faith. As far as I know, that bothers me. Some of you have got older. You're old now. You've never made a profession of faith. That bothers me. Are you going to ride a church pew to hell? Paul's a pattern. I sure am glad. Boy, I'm glad I got a place. That ought to bother our whole church family. We've lost a burden because people ain't got a place. We got young people done realize, old enough to know about the truth of the gospel. And they just sit there. That ought to bother us. We got older people used to be concerned about this loss. They don't acknowledge that no more. That ought to concern us as a church. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you, when all the politics is over, when all the education's over, I'm all for education. Wished I had more of it. Wished I could apply it more. When you spent your last dollar, I'm going to tell you what matters.
Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? When you get down to the brass tacks of this thing, that's all really matters. Do you know you got a place where you came to Christ and He dealt with you as a sinner? Number two, I want to say Paul, he's a pattern of salvation. He had a place, but Paul is a pattern of sanctification. He had progress. Now, I read this in the Bible. It's still in there. I didn't look it up last night or today because I know it's still in there, because what he put in there is still in my Bible. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, we're going to make mistakes. I make my share. And I know many of you don't. But I do. But I'm going to tell you, I have made a little bit of progress since the day He saved me to where I am this morning. And I want to say He's a pattern of sanctification. He made progress. Acts 9:11. Look, when God saved him, where he went. Straight street. Straight and narrow is the way, and few be there that find it. Now, as soon as God saved him, he said, let me tell y'all where you can find him. Verse 11, the street which is called straight. He'll put you on another avenue, friend. Now, isn't it amazing? We find him on straight street. Then Romans 6, watch your Bible, watch how it unfolds. Turn to the right, Romans 6, verse number 11. Paul's writing now. One of the most fabulous books in the New Testament is the book of Romans, and he wrote it. God had big plans for him. He said now, Romans 6, 11, likewise reckon. That's a Bible word, means to calculate or add up. Or conclude, ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can't live by the law. Let not, verse 12, he said, now since I got saved, I've noticed something. I got an option. Let not. That's a hinge on the door. Let not sin therefore reign or be king in your mortal body. See that mortal body? It stinks. Some of you think that you have no foul odor about you. Stay out of the tub about 8 weeks. Let us see. Mortal body. Rotten body. That ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Boy, I tell you, wouldn't it have been a blessing if this flesh had got saved, but it didn't all get saved. My mind didn't get saved. Young people, that's why you better watch what you look at. Because the older you get, your mind will hit rewind. Neither, not only let, but neither yield means to give right away. Your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Said, don't give yourself over to that unto sin. Now watch this. But yield yourselves unto God. Now I can tell you the one that's going to take over in your life, the one you're feeding the most. If you're not reading your Bible every day, if you're not in a prayer altar every day, if you're not coming to the house of God every chance you get, I can tell you right now, the flesh is defeating you. Because it nearly defeats me. And I'm in the house of God. I live in it. My prayer altars daily. But my flesh is a big issue. Well, what's your issue, preacher? You. And I tell you what your issue is. It's me. It's our flesh. We all have the same issue. Now watch this.
For sin, verse 14, shall not have dominion over you, shall not be Lord over you no more. Once you've got saved, he said, because you're not under the law, but you're under grace. He said, something ought to be happening to you in your sanctification. Now, watch this. That's chapter 6. Look at chapter 7 and verse 15. Same writer tells us that, is fixing to tell us this. And I tell you why I've got it highlighted so, because I go back there frequently to remind myself that the greatest preacher that God ever called had issues himself. The devil, Brother Kelly, loved to beat you up and tell you you're the only one that's done this. The devil loves to take you back to Jerusalem and bind you up and get you from shouting. The same man that told you, do not and allow not, look what he said. For that which I do, wished I didn't do it. For what I would, that do I not. What he wished he'd have done, he said, man, I wished I'd done that. And look what he said. What I hate, that do I. Now let me tell you a big difference in a saved man and unsaved man. When you was acting crazy and living in sin, you didn't hate that. But if you're a genuine child of God and you start doing that stuff again, you'll hate it. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth, underline this, I got mine in red, no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He said, this stuff's running me crazy. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. He said, man, there's two of me in this thing. It's a war going on. It's a battle. Don't let the devil beat you up if you're warring. You ought to thank God that you're warring against it. Thank God it ain't got you. Thank God it's a bothering you. Am I talking to anybody this morning? Now, I want to say something right here. I want to say it lightly because I ain't studied out, but I've had the thought. This is why we live in victories and not victory. We have victories, but I don't know how much of us live in a constant victory. I hear men, Brother Allen, it's really made me feel bad because I don't live a constant day in victory. My mind's my biggest battlefield. Elijah had the same problem. Brother Randy had the right terminology for it this morning. I can't even think of what it is. But I can tell you, it's depression. I said something to my wife last week. You know what she said? You're driving me nuts. That's right. Go on, shake your little Baptist head. Go on, shake your little Baptist head. I said, well, honey, she said, you're like a broke record. We just had the greatest day we've had in years. The offering's out the roof, the house was full, and we didn't even eat lunch and you're whining. I'd hate to live with me, Brother Marlin. I'd hate to live with me. My God, I'd get me a tree stand if I had to live with me. And you know what? She was just telling me right, Brother Mike. Now, I know none of y'all got no issues, but I do. I got issues. And it helps me to see where I'm going with this. Brother Michael, a man said this. Boy, this is good preaching on Sunday.
You know, there's a lot of preachers that get up and tell you, I ain't got no issues. Boy, I do. Sometimes I don't want to come to church. I mean, I'm fixing to get plumb redneck with you. Right now, in our county, deer are going crazy. I mean, they'll run over you right now. I love to deer hunt. You know what the devil told me this morning? If you just go to your deer stand, you're going to miss that big buck you've been hunting. But you're going to go to church and miss it. Ain't this amazing? I pull a trail camera. Guess what was on my camera on Sunday morning? Okay, now, y'all tree huggers can't relate to that. But the Coach outlet has got all day, buy one, get five. From 9 till 12. I see lights start turning on. We're in flesh. But when I get here, I'm so glad I got here. But I'm just telling you, this old body, the more that we're in this thing, it groans more and it hurts more and it aches more and it causes me more issue. I have more problems with my flesh today than I did years ago. You know why? Because I'm closer to Christ than I've ever been. And the things that used to not bother me now. I used to get me a dip of Copenhagen. It didn't bother me. Don't nobody throw a rock at me. I'm just preaching with example. See, that's why people get their feelings hurt, because I preach by examples. I've been everywhere. My daughter the other day, somebody put something in her sack. She called and said, y'all didn't charge me for this. If I got to bring it back tonight. And that woman said, wait a minute. What'd you just say? She said, I got home. You didn't charge me for what's in my bag. Have I got to drive back to Carrollton or can I pay you tomorrow? She said, well, I ain't never got no call like this. It's a war. It's a struggle. He's a pattern of sanctification, but he had progress. And I don't want to leave you there. Now watch what happens. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians 4. I'm talking about he's the pattern to sanctification. He's making progress. First Corinthians 4. Verse number 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I've begotten you through the gospel. He said, I'm your daddy preacher. He said, I reached you for Christ through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, watch this, be ye followers of me. What? Yep. Be ye followers of me. He said it again. Turn to the right. 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 1. Be ye followers of me. Watch. Insert, even as I also am of Christ. He said, now listen now, there's some things that you don't need to do what I'm doing. But he said, if I'm a follower in Christ, would you follow me? Sounds like to me he's making progress. You know, I want to say this today. Is there anybody here that'd like to get up on the stage and say, walk the way I'm walking for Christ? Come on now, one without sin, let him throw the first stone. He's making progress. Chapter 6, he said, ain't nothing ought to be dominating us. Chapter 7, he's saying, there's some things bothering me that I do. And now he's writing to the most worldly church in town, and he says, y'all follow me. Sanctification. Let me help you with it just a minute. Sanctification. I got saved in 1981. Isn't that over 30 years? Some of you mathematics, help me there. Is that, anybody figure that up right quick? Just, we're a country church. Holler it out if anybody knows. 31? Thank you. If I'd have behaved, I'd have had some in my mind. I could do that. 31 years. Brother Roy, I ought to be further down the road than I used to be. But you remember, they some folks just been in it 6 months. 9 years. 3 years. But I don't care where you got in, you always remember this. This is what Paul's teaching us. You ought to be making progress. You ought to not be going backwards. Progress. I was reading after an old author the other day, Brother Allen. That's what he said. He said, if sin has got you so bothered to the point that you can't enjoy nothing, he said, there is one side of that that you're not looking at. Be glad it's bothering you. Because it used to didn't bother you. Paul the pattern. He's a pattern of salvation. He had a place. He's a pattern of sanctification. He had progress. But he cried, oh, wretched man that I am. I don't think Paul would have thrown a rock at nobody in the building. And church, let me tell you something. You're never going to build a church without the grace of God. You listen to me. When I do wrong, I am to repent of my sins. I'm to be sorry of what I've done. And you are to restore me. If I'm the pastor and I fall, I believe it's a time that I've got to set out. I believe my office is the highest office, the highest position in the land. If I do something that is gross and immoral, I should be reprimanded and removed from this post. A lot of difference in me and a church member. Do you make mistakes, preach? Oh, you just ought to move in, Daniel, or why stay at? But I want to say this, and then I move. I've not always done right, but I've always wanted to. Now, you can get crazy if you want to about this. You say, well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Okay, well, you go lay down out yonder on that yellow line. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get run over. But let me tell you, you're apt to live a little longer. If you'll stop out yonder at that mailbox and look right, look left, look right, and ease up and look left and hurry and get out. Don't pull in like you're driving a tractor trailer. Once you make, ladies, can I help y'all a minute? You older people, can I help you a minute? I like to lost it yesterday. When you make a decision to turn, would you go in? I mean, would you just go on in where you headed and get parked somewhere? You would save me a lot of confession. I mean, it's nothing aggravates me more. I've got on my blinker now. I'm going to sit here and ain't nothing coming. And I'm going to send a text message and then I'm going to turn. I done run over you 4 times. I know some of y'all got patience. That's not a big attribute of mine. Now, Paul's making progress. He's a pattern. He's got salvation. He had a place. Sanctification. He's got progress. In service, he had a position. He took God's side. I don't have time to get there. But in his service, he had a position. He said, the preaching of the cross to them is foolishness, but unto us it is the power of God. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 7, Philippians 3, verse number 7. I'm winding down. You folks that weren't out 12 o'clock, you late anyway. You might as well enjoy the service. Philippians 3:7, he's a pattern and satisfaction. He had a passion. What satisfies you? What really brings peace to you? For what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things, do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. The satisfaction, he had a passion. You know what that passion was? It was Christ. That was his heartbeat, was Christ. And then lastly this morning, a pattern like Paul, he's a pattern of our salvation. He had a place. You've got a place. There is a pattern of sanctification. He had progress. There was service. He had position. He stood at the cross. There was satisfaction. He had a great passion. He said that I may win Christ, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. But lastly, he's a pattern of steadfastness. He has a pressing. Look in Philippians 3:14. He said in 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or not to have arrived. He said, I don't count myself to have no improvements. But this one thing I do, and this would help us. Miss Sherry, if you'd come, Brother Tim, get us on. This would really help us. This would help our church. But this one thing I do, and this is hard. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. His steadfastness, he had a pressing. He said, I'm forgetting about them things behind me. Christian, it'd do you good to not let the devil bring them things up to you all the time. Remember, confess them, get them under the blood and get free of it and go on and serve Christ and be happy in Jesus. Sinner, maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. It'd be a great day for you to have this place. Brother Randall, remember this. Got a call from the Cash family this morning. Brother Kenneth, Brother Brett, I knew him. He worked with his dad at the Heflin Police Department. Brother Kenneth Cash at my first church, 20 years ago at Lighthouse Baptist Church, he's sitting against a brick wall as I was preaching to him and I gave an invitation. Brother Randall, you remember that morning that he moved out and come out down that aisle and he got saved? Well, I'd been gone a long time and he had found out now where I was pastoring. He'd got down and you know what? The church had started sending him CDs. He don't know nobody today. Nobody. They brought him home. Hospice been brought in. He's even sent his tithe check into the church. Brother Mike had opened it, asked him. He's seen it. They called me this morning. They said, preacher, Daddy don't know us. And it don't look good. But you know what I could say about Brother Cash? He had a place. Have you got a place? Christian, have you got progress? I don't know about y'all, but I get tired of this stuff. It's a battle. But what we've got to do, we've got to get victory over it. Realize it's another victory in our life and press forward. There's a generation coming on. They're counting on us. And I won't tell you this, Christian. I don't care what you've done. Let it be in your past and go on. Ask Jesus to forgive you of it. To help you with those things. Trust Christ and press on toward the mark. I don't know where it's at. But everybody here has got a mark. We won't cross it. We're going to meet Him. Now this last thing I'm going to say, and it's the most important thing I'm going to say all day. If you don't have a place, young or old, if you don't have a place, why don't you come to Christ this morning and trust Him to be your Savior and get you that place? Christian, maybe you need to come to Him and ask Him for progress. Whatever you need, whatever the Spirit of God said to you this morning. If you need to be saved this morning, there'll be...